For the last couple of weeks, you've been hearing from the pulpit about the theme of discipleship. And we've been talking this because we have affirmed our new mission statement. And we tried to really immerse ourselves in understanding what exactly this mission statement is all about. And we concentrated on the first part of the mission statement, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So for the last few weeks, you've been hearing from the pulpit, what is a disciple? Why make disciples? What are the basic principles to make disciples, to be a disciple? And we've learned from the Bible that really discipleship is what we are called to be. In fact, Jesus mentioned discipleship many times than the word Christians. So this morning we're gonna dwell yet another important understanding about discipleship, and that is an authentic disciple. What makes a disciple authentic? What makes a disciple real? So as we dive in to hear God's word today, I invite us all to ask the Holy Spirit to help me and to help us understand. And perhaps by the grace of God, we will be nudged and we'll be convicted by the Spirit. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this blessing of worship, this freedom of worship that you have given to us. We thank you for those that have gathered here this morning. We pray for those that are able to worship with us online. I pray, Lord, that you will help us discern what your will for us today. Some of us here came here for a different reason, and we just pray, Lord, that you will help us be empowered so that we can be an authentic disciple that you called us to be. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask this important question for us this morning as we set the stage in this God's word. How many of you love apple pie? Okay. Come on. How many of you love apple pie? You can just raise your hands. When I first came to America, I have not been fully aware about apple pie, because we do not have many orchards back home. I realized I was able to be fed with the home good cooking of apple pie and begin to be in love with apple pie, especially if you put ice cream on top of it. I'm sure many of us can resonate with that. And the beauty about apple pie, the thing I love most about apple pie is the crust. And I'm telling Judy, you can get the apple, I get all the crust. In the 19th century, I don't know if you heard this story, there were short supplies of apple. So the American pioneers came up with an innovative way on how to make apple pie without apple. So they came up with a secret. That is using, do you remember? Crackers. They use crackers. So if you actually brought a Ritz cracker in the last 75 years or so, you will notice at the back of that package, it says a mock apple pie is right there with a recipe on how to use mock apple pie. So this ingenuity grew in popularity, especially in World War II, where apples became very expensive and scarce. It looks like an apple pie. It smells like an apple pie. It even tastes like an apple pie. But the secret to this mock apple pie does not come from an orchard. It came from a box of crackers. The recipe has everything that is in the apple pie, but instead the apple pie is replaced by crackers, whether it's Ritz cracker, whether it's saltine, or whether it's a soda cracker. And they mix it up with lemon, sugar, cinnamon, and water. Have you all tried that? Mock apple pie? Okay, someone from the Awakenings have done that. When baked, it has the look and taste that resembles an apple pie. And it smells like an apple pie. But there was a food magazine that sampled this mock apple pie compared to a real apple pie that has Fuji apples in it. And here's some of the responses that they got from this food magazine. Here's the comments that came out. And I quote, "It's not bad, but I prefer the real thing." The other response, "It doesn't really taste like apple. It's really rather good, though my guess, it has less redeeming nutritional value than the real thing." End of quote. See, the mock apple pie is not real. It's an imitation. It looks like real, but they're not real. Have you all seen a lot of different things in our world today that somehow looks real, but they're not real? We call that imitation. We call that fake stuff. We have fake jewelries. We have fake money. What else? Fake DVDs, fake bags, fake designer clothes. There's even a store called Imitation Store. We buy imitation because the price is cheaper. And we hang around for these stuffs for a while only to find that they don't last long. The quality is not as good as the original one. It has less, or in fact, no nutritional value at all. And there are a lot of these things in the market right now, in a secular world. And that is same true with Christian faith. There are many people who profess and claim themselves to be disciples of Christ. But you who live like a disciple of Christ. These are the people that Jesus is trying to reserve his harshest words. Not for the thieves, not for the prostitutes, but to a segment among the religious folks who he said were hypocrites. Now, when you hear the word hypocrite, let's pause here for a second and let that digest us. What do we mean by that? Hypocrite. According to the Bible, according to the dictionary, a hypocrite is a person who pretends to have beliefs or practices which he or she does not actually possess. And the Bible uses a different way. It's even deeper than what the dictionary describes. The way the Bible describes a hypocrite is sort of kind of borrowed from an ancient Greek theater, where one actor would often play two parts. So this is just one actor playing two parts. When the play is more on the side of the humorous sides, he will hold up a mask with a smiley face. But when the play becomes tragic and moves to the tragic part of the story, he will hold up the mask with a sad face. See, an actor, a good actor, could imitate the speech and the mannerism and conduct of the character he was portraying. In other words, the Bible describes hypocrites as the one who hides behind a mask. The one who hides behind the mask. And this is what Jesus is so angry and upset and reserved the harshest word when he launched these words on Matthew 6, "Beware, beware of them." Now, let's pause here again. There's always a danger here as we dive in on Matthew 6 and says, "Pastor, I don't think that refers to me. I'm not a hypocrite. I follow God's command. I'm not, I try to be I try to be what God wants me to be? There's always a danger to say that I am not one among them. And there's always easy to say that that text, the story here in Matthew 6, that's not referred to us. But come to think of it, we all at some point been there. We have defined righteousness according to our own terms. And we try to say that we hold the right answer of what it means to be righteous or not. And we try to judge others for what we have perceived on them. So this is an invitation for us to see this text as a story that speaks to ours as well. And be humble enough to accept that we all been in this kind of condition of becoming a hypocrite. In fact, one says, it reminds us of this story of a man who told the pastor that he doesn't go to church because there are so many hypocrites. Do you remember that? And you know, the pastor responded by saying, oh, don't let that stop you, because there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. So come. So the Bible offers us four distinctive qualities on how to be aware or beware of being hypocrite. And be guarding on that kind of attitude and embrace a life of authenticity, the real discipleship. Four things that I would like to invite us all as gleaned from the scripture this morning. First, an authentic disciple is a forgiven sinner. Perhaps you've seen a bumper sticker that says, and I quote, "Christians are not perfect, just forgiven." Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. The Bible never says that Christ's followers are perfect. It does not say that those who surrender their lives to Him will be perfectly forgiven. In fact, 1 John chapter 1 describes the difference between a hypocrite and an honest sinner. When the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us for our unrighteousness. In other words, a real and authentic disciple is the one who has a contrite heart, a humble heart, a repentant heart that asking, Lord, help me. Help my unrighteousness. I need your forgiveness. Are we a forgiven sinner consistently seeking cleansing from our sins? When was the last time that we felt that we did trust in Christ? Christ alone for our salvation. And the assurance was given to you and to me that Christ indeed had taken away our sins. That's the very question that John Wesley have asked to all those who are followers of Christ. That leads me to the second point. In order to us to guard ourselves not to be a hypocrite and to live an authentic life is that an authentic disciple always recognize that they are a work in progress. They are a work in progress. See, church, we all have faults and weaknesses. If we look closely enough, we are different from what we were, and we are not yet who we should be. But we are on our way. There's a word here that John Wesley kept on saying that we are always being sanctified. Sanctification is one of the gifts that the Methodism have given to those that have come and the followers of this movement. Some further along than others in their walk towards Christ, and some of them are still babe in early stages of their Christian walk in life. Regardless of whatever stage you may be, we are all a work in progress. And that leads me to the third point. Because we are a work in progress, because we are forgiven sinners, an authentic disciple lives a new life in Christ. As you all know, I grew up in the church. I loved, being nurtured in the Methodist Church in the Philippines. There, I attended worship every Sunday. I attended young MYF. How many of you have been in the MYF before? I listened to the Word of God every week. I attended Vacation Bible School. But there was a time in my walk with God that I did not act and behave like a real Christian. There was time in my life wherein my life on Saturday is different from my life on Sunday. Now, when you look at me today, and if you knew me today, before today, you might say, I've seen a lot of changes in this man. Indeed, I can look back and say, thanks be to God for He constantly changing me. See, those of us who are followers, who claim ourselves to be followers of Christ, we are no longer living on our old self. We are a new creation. A new creation in the old has passed away. God has given us this new life already. In fact, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern the will of God. And Paul even further says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In other words, once we have stepped up and said, Lord, I am following you. I'm surrendering my life to you. That is already a gift that God has given to you, the gift of new life. But it has to be affirmed every day. We have to say this every time we wake up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for another year of life, another day of life you've given to me. Let this be a day of new life. So that in every word, in every deeds, in every action that I will make on this particular day, it will be for your honor and for your glory. And the reason why I'm saying every day is because every day the enemy always attacks us. And we have to always affirm the newness of life with Christ in every moment that we can seize. And that leads me to the final point. An authentic disciple of Jesus Christ is becoming what he or she will be. Listen again to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit is working and continually working in us if we allow the Spirit to do its part. We experience forgiveness of sins and life change as we surrender to Jesus on a daily basis. Not a one-time thing, but on every day. Asking God to give us the courage and humility to ask for forgiveness, to develop the character of Christ within us, and causes the fruit of the Spirit to be ripened in our own individual lives. The hope that we cling on is that God is not finished with us yet. Can we hear amen, church? God is not finished with us yet. We are in process. We are not what we used to be, and we're becoming what we will be by the grace of God. I know that God is at work narrowing the gaps between what we should be and what we are about to become. He said, there's no need to pretend. There's no need to cover up. There's no need to hide behind a mask. All God wants us to give up to Him is our own authentic selves, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, and said, Lord, take yours. Take everything that I have. Everything. All my messiness. There's nothing to hide behind the mask. We are freed from hypocrisy, and we can take our mask off. There's a song that was written many years ago by Marvin Gaye entitled Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. Have you heard that song? Some of us have heard that. It's written by Nicholas Ashford and Valerie Simpson, and the song basically goes like this. I got a picture of you on my wall, but it's not the same as having you here with me. I enjoy getting your love letters, but it's not the same as having you here and hearing your voice in person. And here's how the chorus says, ain't nothing like the real thing. See, church, when it comes to Jesus, Jesus does not want us to give a mock apple pie. He wants the real apple pie of our own lives. There ain't nothing like the real thing for Jesus. I pray as we go forth in this place that we will beware of the hypocrisy that we are masking in our own lives. That we will be freed from that and we can take off our mask and live an authentic Christian life by His grace and by His mercy. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.